What's up, divers? Welcome into the Deep Dive Fantasy Football Podcast, where I take a deep analytical look at fantasy football and combine it with a common sense approach to lead us to some titles. I'm your host, Brandon Gabor, and before we get started, remember you can follow me on my main platform being Twitter at Deep Dive FF, Instagram at Deep Dive Fantasy Football, YouTube at Deep Dive Fantasy Football, even TikTok at Deep Dive FF. And as always, check out the website, deepdivefantasyfootball.com. With that being said, let's get into the content. What's up, divers? Welcome into another episode of Deep Dive Fantasy Football. Today, I will be giving you guys my mock draft for the upcoming NFL draft. We're going to talk about where I think these players are going to go. It's not what I would do. Well, actually, it's a little bit of what I would do and a little bit of what I think is going to happen. You'll know when I'm explaining each one of my picks. And I feel like this is a good way. It's a fun way for me to be able to give my prediction for the mock draft, but also naturally be able to talk about a lot of things in fantasy, because we're going to have a lot of fantasy impacts. And that's the main point of this mock draft, is to be able to tell you guys, you know, if this type of position lands at this type of team, this is how I think that affects them for fantasy and the ramifications that we're going to see all across the league. So I thank you guys for tuning in. This is a fun one for me. We'll probably take a break. You might not notice, but I'm going to take a break probably like halfway through. And with that said, right before we start, I do want to say I had a little bit of movement in my rookie running back rankings. I moved Tyjae Spears up a little bit, not too much. I had him at like 9 before. Now he's my running back 6 right after Kendre Miller and Roschon Johnson. He's the next one. So I moved him up a little bit, but he's still in the same tier for me. He hasn't changed tiers. I just put him to the top of his tier. With that said, let's get started. Let's remember as well, most mock drafts, like the most accurate one from all these experts that put out their mock drafts when you get close to the draft, you usually end up getting about 8 pairings correct between player and team in the first round. So they'll usually accurately predict 8 players to the team. I think that's more important than predicting the spot the player goes at. I think it's more important to predict what team they go to, so that's what I focus on. So with that said, I'm not going to do trades. I'm not going to project trades. I'm going to kind of just put the players on the teams I think that they're going to go to. And that's going to start us off with pick number 1, the Carolina Panthers. I do think they're going to take Bryce Young. Bryce Young, the only questions that he has in this draft, you know, we've kind of touched on it already in the quarterback episode. The only questions he has in his draft is in regards to his size. He's the best processor. He's very, very accurate. He's very good at escaping pressure. He's very good under pressure. His under pressure rate is better than a lot of regular quarterbacks' passing rates without being pressured. So Bryce Young is by far and away the best quarterback in this draft right now, at least. Now, could Anthony Richardson end up being better than him and have a higher ceiling than him? Yeah, sure. But as of right now, I think that Bryce Young is clearly ahead of the other quarterbacks. I think the Panthers are going to take him, and he could very quickly be one of the best quarterbacks in the NFC, because the NFC, as we know, doesn't have too much quarterback talent. So what does this mean for fantasy? So when we're talking about these quarterbacks, I want to focus on a couple things. We're going to talk about weapons. We're going to talk about coaching, opportunity, and then I'll just give you my fantasy rank. So if Bryce Young gets drafted by the Panthers, he will be my QB1 for fantasy football drafts, okay? If we look at the weapons that he's working with, or any quarterback that may get drafted to the Panthers, I think they got probably a B- in terms of weapons. Miles Sanders is good. He's got good receiving skills. Hayden Hurst is a decent tight end. Adam Thielen is, while he may not be the Adam Thielen of old, he still is very smart, very intelligent, and knows how to run routes, where to be at the right times. So Thielen is good for a quarterback. Not great for himself for fantasy, but he's probably pretty good for a quarterback. So Adam Thielen's there, DJ Chark is there, Terrace Marshall, and Laviska Shenault. Those are their top 4 receivers, along with, like we said, Miles Sanders and Hayden Hurst. That's like maybe, I would say, a C-plus in weapons, but also included in weapons is offensive line. So I'm going to talk about them as a whole. Basically, the supporting cast. That maybe I should change it to supporting cast, and I would say B-, because they have a pretty good offensive line in Carolina. Then, in terms of coaching, we're not 100% sure how that's going to go, but we do have good faith in their coaching staff, and they've proven to have some good success here and there. So I'm going to go with B+. I don't want to get too optimistic and say like A- or anything like that. So I would say their coaching is about a B+, but that's good. And then opportunity is 8+, because whoever gets drafted by the Panthers is going to be starting day one, in my opinion. I doubt they're going to start Andy Dalton. So day one starter, the rookie quarterback for the Panthers, I think it's going to be Bryce Young, and he would be my number one quarterback if that was the case. Now, it's important to say this. If, let's say, Anthony Richardson got drafted by the Panthers, if they go with Richardson, Richardson would be my number one quarterback. If Stroud goes to the Panthers, Stroud would not be my number one quarterback, because I am supremely confident that the Texans would take Bryce Young if he was there, and the Texans situation is also pretty decent, so I would still have Bryce Young as number one. Now, with that said, we're going to get into number two. So we got Bryce Young at number one going to the Panthers. Then at number two, I've got CJ Stroud going to the Texans. Recently, there's been a lot of buzz that the Texans don't like Stroud, that there's some questions about some certain like things in terms of like leadership and stuff like that, which all of this is coming out of nowhere right now. I think it might be a smokescreen. If you listen to Colin Cowherd, he thinks that this is the Texans trying to soften up the fan base and get the fan base ready for them to not take a quarterback. And that's why they're starting to float these things out. I would say it's the opposite. I would say they're trying to generate as much, you know, confusion at the top and as much intrigue at the top as they can to possibly try and find either a trade partner, or maybe they think that the Panthers are going to take Stroud and they want Stroud, and maybe they're trying to put some negative buzz out there on Stroud to get Stroud to drop to them. The things that these teams do are crazy. We've heard stories about it in the past of things like this happening. So I'm not going to take that stuff to heart. I'm not going to worry about that stuff. CJ Stroud's a really good quarterback. Him and Bryce Young are the ones that are pro-ready right now that can come in and do good for your offense. Defensive head coach for Houston and a lot of picks to put a lot of pieces into place. I think that they're going to want somebody that's just ready to go. I think they want to start off hot. It's a new head coach. I think he just wants to get a guy that he knows he can trust to do good and doesn't have to like develop or coach up. So unless they think that they're going to tank next year for Caleb Williams or whatever, but it's hard for me to picture a new head coach tanking and having his first season be with like no quarterback. So that's very hard for me to picture. So I do think they're going to take a quarterback. I think they're going to take CJ Stroud. So let's talk about it. CJ Stroud, if you look at weapons and offensive line, there's a little bit of an asterisk here, and I don't want to give it away, but I am ranking the weapons and offensive line for the Texans as an A-. As of right now, it's not better than the Panthers. As of right now, it's probably equivalent about a B-. But based off who I have the Texans taking later in the draft, I think that's going to severely upgrade their weapons or O-line, I should just say, supporting cast. So for the supporting cast of the Texans, I have them at an A-. They've got Damian Pierce. They've got Dalton Schultz. They've got John Mechie. They've got Nico Collins. And their offensive line is looking good, and I'm going to give them an addition in one of those categories here later in the draft. That's going to make that an A-. Their coaching is a huge question mark. We have no idea what that coaching is going to be like. We don't know if it's going to be good for a quarterback, if the quarterback's going to be able to develop and not learn bad habits and only focus on good things. So that's what's tricky here. And then for opportunity, obviously, I would say A+. I don't think Davis Mills is going to start over a quarterback that they take. So if they do take a quarterback here, I'm sure that he's going to be starting from day one. So opportunity as well for the Texans, just like the Panthers, A+. And then my fantasy rank for CJ Stroud would be quarterback 3 based off this mock draft. So I've got Bryce Young as my quarterback 1, CJ Stroud as my quarterback 3. So then we have the Arizona Cardinals taking Will Anderson, edge rusher. He's just a solid player that they could use. They need as many solid blue chip players as they can get. Their team is not looking very good. I personally, might be a hot take, I don't really know. I personally, if I was Arizona, would pretty much throw in the towel this year. So Kyler's going to be hurt for a while for them. Once Kyler gets back healthy, if he looks good at all, I might test the waters on a trade market. I really might, or do it in the offseason, because Kyler Murray, kind of like we talked about with like the whole work ethic, grinder. And then when you have somebody like Kyler Murray with the not, I was almost said disability. That's not what I mean. But like with the, oh my goodness, I can't think right now. He's at a disadvantage. There it is. With the disadvantages that come with Kyler Murray, that he cannot change his size. You have to be an absolute grinder to be able to be successful for a long period of time in the NFL. Once people learn your tricks and can kind of figure out who you are as a player, for you to succeed and surpass that and rise above that, you need to be a grinder. That's just in general in the NFL. But especially if you've got the disadvantage he has of being so small. So he doesn't exhibit that. He doesn't show that to me. So that's why I've gotten off of him in fantasy. That's why if I was a GM, I would try to get off of him if I can and see if I can get into that Caleb Williams sweepstakes. Because, hey, they already did it once with Josh Rosen. Kyler Murray is good enough to make you competitive, but if you're trying to win a Super Bowl, I don't really know. And I think that they feel the same way. That's why they structured some of the things in the contract that they did. But without trying to get on a tangent, I don't want this to be a super long episode. We're going to start having to burn through these a little bit quicker. So I'm not going to focus too much on my non-fantasy relevant selections. So we're kind of going to go through this. So we've got Bryce Young at 1 to the Panthers, CJ Stroud at 2 to the Texans, Will Anderson at 3 to the Cardinals, Anthony Richardson at 4 to the Colts. Anthony Richardson would be my quarterback 2 if this is where he lands. For weapons and O-line, I have it at B+. And that's with an addition. Without an addition that I have later on in this mock draft, I would say about probably B-, because he's got Jonathan Taylor, he's got Michael Pittman, he's got an okay offensive line, and that's about it right now. So it's not looking great, but I do think that they're going to pull something to give a rookie quarterback that they hopefully select in this draft. I mean, you have to think they're going to take one, right? They're not going to just go with Gardner Minshew for a whole year. So whoever they end up taking, I'm sure they're going to try and grab a weapon later on for him, because what they have right now is not anywhere close to enough, especially in the AFC. So I have him taking Anthony Richardson. Weapons and O-line, aka supporting cast, I have at B+. Coaching, I have at B. Opportunity, I have at A-. That's because if they're taking one of these more developmental quarterbacks, not that Richardson's really a developmental quarterback, but he's not as ready as Bryce Young and CJ Stroud at the moment. He is a lot more ready than people realize, though. He would probably sit for a little bit. So I'm going to put his opportunity at A-. I still think he's going to start, or at least have a chance to start, but it's a little bit cloudy. It's a little bit in question. They might want to roll Minshew out for like a few weeks and make Anthony Richardson earn it. So that's why I put his opportunity at A-. But like I said, he'd be my quarterback 2 above CJ Stroud for fantasy purposes if he lands with the Indianapolis Colts. If he lands with the Panthers at number 1 overall, he will be my number 1 fantasy quarterback. Then at 4, at 5, I have the Seattle Seahawks taking Jalen Carter, defensive interior from Georgia. I have the Lions taking edge rusher Tyree Wilson from Texas Tech. And then at 7, I have the Raiders taking Will Levis, quarterback from Kentucky. Perfect situation for Levis because he gets to sit behind Garoppolo. Levis has a lot of things he needs to work on, especially being his timing and his anticipation. So for me, that's a perfect landing spot. And it's going to make Levis a valuable pick in fantasy drafts because he's not going to go high. Jimmy Garoppolo is going to be the starter. Will Levis is probably going to be looked at like Justin Herbert was when Herbert was a rookie. Herbert was going at the very back of the first round, top of the second round in fantasy football drafts. That's the perfect range for Will Levis. That's the perfect range for Will Levis, especially if he's still going in the top 10. That's a huge investment. He's going to get his opportunity, but as of right now, that opportunity for me would be a B-. Coaching, I also put B-. Weapons and offensive line, I gave him a B. He's got Josh Jacobs, maybe for 1 year. Devontae Adams, maybe for a couple years. Austin Hooper, Jacoby Myers, Hunter Renfrow. They're good for now, but in a year or two, they're going to need to look to restock that offensive weapon cast. He would be my quarterback 4. He would be in a different tier. So I would have Stroud, Young, and Richardson all in the same tier. And then I would have Will Levis in a different tier as the 4th quarterback for fantasy purposes if this is where he landed. At 8, I have Christian Gonzalez, the cornerback, going to the Falcons. At 9, I have the Bears selecting offensive tackle Peter Skoronski. That is very pertinent to fantasy because that would help Justin Fields. Fields has got the weapons now. Now he needs the O-line. So hopefully they help him out there. At nine, they're in a perfect position to get the top or number two offensive lineman in the draft. So hopefully they grab Skoronski there or someone close to him like a Paris Johnson Jr. At 10, I have the Eagles taking cornerback Devon Witherspoon. Some people might think that's crazy because, you know, oh, hey, the Eagles brought back Bradberry and Darius Slay. They don't need a cornerback. That's ridiculous. Blah, 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 blah. They brought Darius Slay back, I think, on what was 1 year. They've got Bradberry back, but those guys are older. Why would you not bring Devon Witherspoon in as your third corner? He's got some of the best PFF grades we've ever seen for a corner. He's very well seasoned. He's ready to go. He will help you in this Super Bowl window that you guys have right now. Even as a rookie, you put him in the slot. He's locking down the slot guys he's got to deal with. And then if somebody gets hurt, you're insulated. Darius Slay or Bradberry go down. You can put Devon Witherspoon out there on the outside if you need to. So you're giving yourself insulation for injury as well as somebody who's going to start anyways and be very good. And he's young, and your players at the position are old. So that's my argument for the Eagles to take Witherspoon there. Then I have Paris Johnson Jr., offensive tackle, going to the Titans. They need to build that O-line. That O-line is looking weak right now. And then at 12, the Texans, the person that I said I have them taking to bolster their supporting cast for whatever quarterback they take, I have them going wide receiver Jaxon Smith-Njigba from Ohio State. That would actually pair perfectly. In this mock draft, I have them taking the Ohio State pairing of CJ Stroud and Jaxon Smith-Njigba. That would be amazing for Jaxon Smith. JSN is what we're going to say from now on out, or here on out. I would say JSN is probably top 16-ish dynasty wide receiver for me if this is what his landing spot is, because we already know Stroud's got a connection with him. Stroud's going to be looking for him. He was the number one wide receiver for Stroud 2 years ago when Garrett Wilson and Olave were there. So I love that for JSN. That would also really round out their receiving core, because then you've got a stretcher with Mechie. You've got a possession slot guy with JSN who can go outside if he needs to here and there. Then you've got your big outside wide receiver with Nico Collins. That's a perfect complementary cast. I love that. And then you've got Schultz as a tight end. Beautiful. Offensive line's looking good. That would be amazing. At 13, I have Darnell Wright, the tackle, going to the Jets. He's from Tennessee. The Jets need some offensive line help as well. Very interesting to see what's going to happen with this Aaron Rodgers nonsense. I mean, I've never been an Aaron Rodgers guy. He's too much drama for me. And I think that's how a lot of Jets fans might be feeling as well, or at least the organization. Then New England Patriots at 14, I have them taking edge Lucas Van Ness. The Packers, I have them taking Dalton Kincaid, tight end out of Utah. So let's talk about Kincaid as a Packer. His quarterback situation, I put it as a B-. We don't really know how good Love is going to be right now. Scheme, I would say B-. When I say scheme, I mean the availability of pass attempts and how much they like to pass to the tight end. And, well, that's pretty much it. So that's what I have for scheme for tight ends. And then I have competition. Competition, I put B+. So if the competition is high, that means he doesn't have competition. So like if somebody has A for competition, that means that they're not competing with anyone. It's a perfect scenario. It's perfect for them. It's an A+ scenario. So that's why a higher letter grade doesn't mean that there's a lot of competition. It means there's a little bit of competition, like very few. So Dalton Kincaid doesn't have too much competition if he goes to the Packers or any other tight end that they may take. It's a hot spot for tight ends in mock drafts right now. I would say whatever tight end they take, if it's in the first round or even in the second round, is pretty, pretty good spot for them, because they've got Christian Watson. Maybe Romeo Doubs is going to be above the tight end. And then they've got some, you know, receiving chops with Aaron Jones, but that tight end is going to take precedence in that offense. So that's going to look nice. Then after Dalton Kincaid to the Packers, I've got Nolan Smith going to Washington, just continuing to give that defense a bunch of athletic freak playmakers that are hard workers. That would be perfect. I like that spot a lot. They're not really in range for any quarterbacks, in my opinion. I wouldn't be taking Hendon Hooker in the first round. Then at 17, I have the Steelers taking Joey Porter Jr., the cornerback. And then at 18, another fantasy thing right here. At 18, I have the Detroit Lions taking Quentin Johnston. So with Quentin Johnston, they might have a sneaky best wide receiver group in the NFL or somewhere close to that. It depends on what ends up happening with Jameson Williams and how good he ends up being. So Quentin Johnston as a Lion, I give him his quarterback a B. So for wide receivers and tight ends, I grade the quarterback. I grade the scheme, which is like availability of targets and how much they like to pass the ball. And not really availability of targets, more like how much they pass. Do they target that position a lot in the red zone? Stuff like that. And then competition, I put that in there as well. And then fantasy rank. So by the way, going back to Dalton Kincaid, he would be my number one rookie tight end if he landed as a Packer. Basically, if anybody goes to the Packers, unless Kincaid specifically goes to like the Bengals or somewhere else, I have pegged Kincaid as the best and most intriguing receiving tight end for fantasy purposes in this draft. So he's the guy I'm looking at the most for fantasy. But if he goes to like a crappy situation and somebody gets drafted by the Packers like Michael Mayer in the first round, then that'd probably be my number one fantasy tight end. But anyways, Quentin Johnston as a Lion, B situation for quarterback, B minus in scheme. They might start to pass the ball more, but they just love to run, and they're trying to build up that defense, so they want to have that run first mentality. And because they don't have a super flashy quarterback, you know, I can't really blame them for wanting to do that. But having Quentin Johnston, Amon-Ra St. Brown, and Jameson Williams, that's also a perfect complementary wide receiver core. Amon-Ra is a possession beast in the slot, runs great routes, has great hands. Then you've got Jameson Williams taking the top off the defense, and Quentin Johnston, a huge monster, and if he learns how to catch the freaking ball and not clap attack everything, and he learns how to be really reliable with his hands, he's got the body and the athleticism to be able to be that 50-50 beast that's making those 50-50 balls 75-25 if he can fix his hands. Right now, that's not the case. But he also wouldn't have too much pressure to do that in this offense because he's the third option. So he's not going to just crash and burn as if he gets drafted as a wide receiver one and is expected to play that way and then plays against number one corners every week and doesn't develop and gets, you know, very discouraged. You don't want that to happen. So this is actually a really good landing spot for him for that reason. And then I think that they could end up grabbing a quarterback maybe next year or maybe in the not free agency. I don't think free agency is ever going to produce somebody really better than Jared Goff, but you know, they still have opportunities to improve their quarterback position in the draft in future years. So I really like that spot for Quentin Johnston. He would be I have it as wide receiver four right now, but we'll see. Wide receiver four for rookie rankings. Then after Quentin Johnston goes at 18th to the Lions, I have my Buccaneers, my Tampa Bay Buccaneers, beloved in my heart. I have them taking Anton Harrison, offensive tackle from Oklahoma. The Bucs need offensive line, period. They're not going to draft Bijan Robinson. I would really appreciate if people would stop putting that in mock drafts. That would be stupid. Makes no sense. Why would we do that? That's just like the Giants taking Saquon Barkley when they didn't have a quarterback at 2 overall. And they wasted his entire prime because now they're finally getting good. And guess what? Saquon is getting franchise tagged because they don't think that he's going to last much longer. And that's exactly what would happen to Bijan if the Bucs drafted him. Absolutely useless. We're not going to do that. So we're going to take an offensive lineman, hopefully. Maybe if there's a good corner that slips, maybe we'll take a corner. But they'd have to be somebody that can go on the inside and be a nickel corner, a slot corner, then be able to go to the outside if we lose somebody later on. But that's what I'm looking at for the Bucs is offensive line. So if a good defensive lineman makes it there, sure. If Nolan Smith makes it to the Bucs, I would love that, especially with Devin White trying to get out. Maybe we end up trading him next year, or he just hits free agency and wants to leave or whatever. So I have us taking offensive tackle. That would be the best situation for Rashad White. That's what you're looking for. We're looking for fantasy impact. That would be an improvement for Rashad White. Then at 20, another fantasy impact right here. I've got the Seattle Seahawks taking Zay Flowers. Boston College, he would slot right in as the new Tyler Lockett. He could learn from Lockett. Then Lockett will retire soon or be on a different team, and Zay Flowers could take over, step in, and keep that wide receiver core really strong. He'd be right across from DK Metcalf. I love Zay Flowers' game. He's a hard worker. Seems like he's got really no concerns, like no character concerns, no like route running concerns, anything like that. He's not huge. He's not the biggest. He's not imposing, but He's not from a great school, but I mean, Laquette wasn't any of those things either. And Laquette was really good for them. And I think Zay Flowers could be similar. Zay Flowers, I would actually take over Quentin Johnson. And a big part of it is because of the competition. He doesn't have competition. For Quentin Johnson, competition was C- because he's got a deal with Amon-Ra St. Brown. He's got a deal with Jameson Williams. He's got a deal with DeAndre Swift. Zay Flowers as a Seahawk, he's got B-plus quarterback. Scheme, B. They're never going to throw the ball too much, so I give him a B. Competition, right now, C minus, yes, Laquette and DK. But I'm going to take him as the second wide receiver off the board because, one, I am more confident in Zay Flowers being successful in the NFL than I am in Quentin Johnston. That's number one. And number two, because I think, you know, DK is older than any of the two receivers that Quentin Johnston would be competing with in the Lions. You know, Amon-Ra and Jameson Williams are both super young. So if a wide receiver goes there to the Lions to just make them a very, very tantalizing offense, well, nobody's leaving anytime soon. So the competition's a lot more heavy there. At least in the Seahawks situation, competition will go by faster because Laquette is very old. I think he's like 30 or 31. So he's got maybe one, two more good years left. And then they're going to need somebody because it can't just be DK only. Then after that, Zay Flowers at 20 to the Seahawks. We have Deonte Banks, corner, going to the Chargers. Then edge rusher Miles Murphy going to the Baltimore Ravens. At 23, I have the Vikings taking Kalijah Kancey. At 24, he's a defensive interior lineman. Then at 24, we have the Jaguars taking Brian Branch, safety. That's a nice spot. That's a pairing that I like a lot. 25, the Giants taking guard Osiris Torrance. That'd be really good for Saquon, really good for Daniel Jones. Give him some more protection. Help him in the run game. At 26, I have Brian Breezy going to the defensive interior Clemson. And then I have Emmanuel Forbes, corner, going to the Buffalo Bills at 27. Michael Mayer to the Bengals at 28. Now, I want to talk about a couple things here. Because at 28, I think the Bengals could be a very, very intriguing spot for Bijan Robinson. If they're trying to move off Mixon, which it looks like they are, Bijan Robinson at 28, that's a great value. And they're in a Super Bowl window. So giving them that weapon, giving Burrow that weapon, would be very, very nice. They wouldn't be wasting Bijan because they already have a franchise quarterback. They already have a good team. So that would be a nice spot for Bijan Robinson. A lot of people like to give him to the Cowboys or the Bills. I think the Cowboys are more likely to grab a running back in the second round to pair with Tony Pollard. Because if you just kept Pollard and then you're going to draft Bijan, unless you're planning on moving off of Pollard, that kind of defeats the purpose of keeping Pollard for this year. Like, because hopefully they're able to come to terms on a contract for Pollard to keep him there longer. Because, yeah, he might not be the youngest, but he doesn't have too much tread taken off of his tires. He's got a lot of tread left because he hasn't been getting crazy work and crazy carries at any point in his career. So I didn't have the Cowboys taking him, didn't have the Bills taking him. The Bills, they've got some decent running backs. They might grab somebody later on. I just don't see them spending a first-round pick on Bijan when they could bolster a different position, and the running game is not even that important to them. They don't even use it that much right now. So with that said, we've got Michael Mayer at 28 to the Bengals instead of Bijan Robinson. That was a struggle for me, so I gave him Mayer. I think he's going to help him a lot with blocking. Offensive line is still something you want to always be strong for Burrow, and Mayer can help with that, and he's also a decent receiver too. They lost Hayden Hurst, so that's why I put Mayer there. Mayer would be my tight end two behind Dalton Kincaid if that was the situation. Quarterback A+, scheme A+. They love to throw the ball. They throw the ball a lot. They throw the ball to the tight end. Competition D, because obviously he's competing with Boyd, Higgins, and Chase. So that's rough, but I'm sure one of them is going to be gone soon. So it would be just two wide receivers and him. And so, like I said, he'd be my tight end too. Then Cam Smith, cornerback to the Saints at 29. Bijan Robinson at 30 to the Eagles. That would be insane. Absolutely insane. Bijan Robinson as an Eagle. Offensive line, A. Scheme, A. They love to run the ball. They love to run the ball in the red zone. They are run-first mentality. Competition, A. He would be the de facto number one, and Gainwell would just be his complement. and fantasy rank, obviously he'd be the number one fantasy rookie running back for me as an Eagle. Then at 31, to finish the first round, since the Dolphins lost the first round pick, I have Will McDonald, edge, going to the Chiefs. So let's go over that first round real quick, and I'll give you a couple landing spots that I liked in the second. Bryce Young to the Panthers, CJ Stroud to the Texans, Will Anderson at 3 to the Cardinals, Anthony Richardson at 4 to the Colts, Jalen Carter to the Seahawks, Tyree Wilson to the Lions, Will Levis to the Raiders, Christian Gonzalez at 8 to the Falcons, Peter Skoronski to the Bears, Devon Witherspoon to the Eagles, Paris Johnson Jr. tackle to the Titans, Jaxon Smith-Njigba wide receiver, first one off the board to the Texans at 12. At 13, Darnell Wright, offensive tackle, to the Jets. 14, Patriots take Lucas Van Ness, edge. 15, Packers take tight end Dalton Kincaid. 16, Washington Commanders take Nolan Smith, edge rusher slash linebacker. At 17, the Steelers take corner Joey Porter. At 18, the Lions take wide receiver Quentin Johnston. At 19, the Bucks take tackle Anton Harrison. At 20, the Seattle Seahawks take Zay Flowers, wide receiver. At 21, the Chargers take cornerback Deontay Banks. At 22, the Baltimore Ravens take edge rusher Miles Murphy slash defensive interior, maybe, depending on how they want to use him. At 23, the Vikings take Kalijah Kancey, defensive lineman. At 24, the Jaguars take the top safety off the board in Brian Branch. At 25, the Giants take guard Osiris Torrance. At 26, the Cowboys take Brian Breezy, defensive lineman. At 27, the Bills take Emmanuel Forbes, cornerback. At 28, Michael Mayer, tight end, goes to the Bengals. At 29, Cam Smith, cornerback, goes to the Saints. At 30, Bijan Robinson, running back. And incoming, more athletic, Le'Veon Bell, goes to the Eagles. And 31, Will McDonald goes to the Chiefs, edge rusher. Now, with that said, I've got a couple second-round landing spots, three guys for you. Zach Charbonnet I have landing as a Titan in the second round to replace Derrick Henry. Just like when they took Derrick Henry before DeMarco Murray was done. Before DeMarco Murray was done, while they still had DeMarco Murray, they drafted Henry for 2 years to share with DeMarco. And then Henry just took over and became a beast. I could see them doing the same thing with Charbonnet. Take Charbonnet in the second round, have him share with DeMarco Murray. You just drafted an offensive lineman. You're trying to keep that identity as that power run game. You're trying to keep that identity. You need a running back. You can't just put in any running back. You need somebody that's strong, big, powerful. That's what Zach Charbonnet is. His actual comp for me is DeMarco Murray. So that would be perfect. You're getting that power combo again, like you had in the past. And when Derrick Henry inevitably falls off, which is probably very soon, Zach Charbonnet is there to take the mantle and keep him going strong. O-line B-, scheme A, competition D, because obviously he's competing with Derrick Henry, so that sucks. Fantasy rank, though, he would be my number two running back in this scenario for fantasy, because I have Jahmyr Gibbs in the second round going to the New Orleans Saints. Offensive line situation B, scheme B plus, competition C, because he's got to compete with Alvin Kamara. Now, while Kamara's suspended, Gibbs will do really well. But when Kamara comes back, he's got to deal with that. Also, I don't see that team being as good of a run team as the Titans, especially without having Kamara and without having all of the coaching and scheming and everything that they used to have with Sean Payton. So Jahmyr Gibbs, if you want to take him over Charbonnet, I'm not going to argue too much. I could see that over Charbonnet, definitely, but I want that power back for Tennessee. I would be all over that. We're talking about for dynasty purposes, obviously. Then at 13, or I'm sorry, not at 13, in the second round, I have Jordan Addison landing as a Colt for their rookie quarterback, Anthony Richardson. That would be a good compliment. You know, give them Michael Pittman, give them Jordan Addison, two solid route runners that can get open and help out a rookie quarterback. Quarterback situation, I would say B for the Colts, because I have him taking Anthony Richardson, so I'd grade him at about a B. That's like what I have Jared Goff at right now. Kind of like around where Geno Smith is. Geno Smith's a B plus for me. Then scheme, I would say is a B. Competition is a B. Not too much competition, just a little bit. And he would be my third wide receiver. So with these landing spots, I would have my wide receiver one would be Jaxon Smith-Njigba to the Texans. Wide receiver two would be Zay Flowers to the Seahawks. Then Jordan Addison as a Colt, and then Quentin Johnson as a Lion. That would be my top four wide receivers. My running backs would be Bijan Robinson as an Eagle at one, Zach Charbonnet as a Titan at two, Jahmyr Gibbs as a Saint at three. And then I didn't do Roschon Johnson and Kendre Miller and some of the other guys that I like. That's as far as I went. But thank you guys for tuning in. I appreciate it. Until next time. See ya.